I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Bob Sherwood with Web Talk with Bob. Haven't been around for several months, but I'm back. I was asked the other day, where have I gone? Why haven't I been around? Why? There's been nothing to talk about. That's right, there's been nothing going on. Oh yes, Stormy Daniels going on. So what is the big deal there anyway? Why is everybody so concerned about who Donald Trump has sex with 7 or 8 or 9 years ago? And that he paid her off, or somebody else paid her off. So what? Does this have anything to do with what's going on and what needs to happen? Does this have something to do with the tax cuts or infrastructure spending or China? I don't think so. But it's news, and that's what bothers me the most, is how horrible the news is. The truth is, I haven't watched news. I haven't seen any news in a couple of months. You see, mostly wrangling and arguing and finger-pointing and accusing by one person or another. Well, sure, North Korea is news, and who wouldn't be in favor of him meeting with the North Korean president or leader? I mean, would we want him to be have an enemy of North Korea? But many people say, oh, I'm surprised. President Trump is meeting with a tyrant, a guy who has no respect for human rights. Wait a minute. We just gave women the right to vote in the 30s. We discriminated against black people heavily until the 70s and 80s, and in some areas still do. Wouldn't let them in schools, wouldn't let them sit on certain places in school buses, have different fountains. And yet we have this moral high ground. We're not going to talk to the North Korean president. No, that's just stupid. Of course we should talk to him. But the Democrats say, well, we'll raise that person's image on the international scene because we, the almighty United States government, is meeting with this lowly dictator in North Korea. So now he becomes because we have I'm all in favor of Trump sitting down with the leader of North Korea or the leader of China, than on a shouting and finger pointing and release a nuclear weapon basis. China, there's nothing here. Trump said it all when he said, we don't have a trade war with China. The war is over. We lost. If you have lived for the last 40 or 50 years, then you know what has happened in the 60s, noted for bamboo umbrellas that went into drinks. And now they're noted for high-level electronics. And we're not noted for electronics anymore. Maybe we should go back to making bamboo umbrellas for drinks. So, no, the war with China is over. Trump is trying to start it again. Why is it so hard for Democrats to understand that if you want to start a business in China, you have to give the Chinese control of that corporation? And that corporation that owns all the technology that corporation uses to make its products in China. Yet a Chinese official, an executive, can come over to the United States and start a company here and own 90% of it. A Chinese company can come over here and raise money on our stock exchange. Can we do that in China? Not without a lot of regulations. So what's Trump doing? Let's slap duties on goods that come in the United States from China. Let's start the war again. The intellectual property war is even more interesting. Corporations have complained about it for years, but no one has ever done anything about it. Trump is trying to do something about it. What's the matter with a good, solid old trade war? What's wrong with that? Sure, I know. Somebody might get hurt by it. Farmers might get hurt by it, or somebody else. It's a war. So let's worry about protecting our farmers, but let's worry about the larger picture, which is the trade deficit. We're supposedly some big economy making lots of goods and services. Yet how much are we shipping to China? Nothing compared to what they ship here. Whose fault is that? Probably both the Democrats and the Republicans. Because why? Because it's happened a little bit at a time. A slowly weathering away. The Grand Canyon wasn't made in a day. More than likely. It was made by the slow weathering away. The trade situation we have with China is not the fault of Republicans. It's not the fault of Democrats. It's the fault, in my opinion, of Americans, American citizens, who simply didn't see this coming or didn't want to see this coming, didn't elect officials that would do something about it. Now we have Trump. Well, Trump is starting a trade war. So what? Let him start a trade war. Let's see if we can't get back to shipping more goods and services to China than they ship here. Why shouldn't we? Oh, yes, and oh, by the way, they've got 3 or 4 times more people than we do. So why shouldn't we be shipping to them 3 or 4 times more product than they ship to us? Because we let the situation go on. Yes, I do believe that trade World War I with China is over. And now we should have trade World War II. And it might be a bit painful. But think about anything that's good sometimes is painful. It's easy to take the less painful road and let things go on like they are until eventually all of Americans are working for McDonald's. And McDonald's is owned by a Chinese company. You don't think it can happen? Look at England. Ruler of the seas. What do they rule now? Not very much. So it does happen over time. And it happens gradually because people don't see it and don't do anything about it. And of course, I would be remiss, if I didn't mention Chappaquiddick. I saw the movie. It was an emotional, draining experience for me. Because why? Because I still have this almost childlike belief that our political system works, that people simply can't hire 20 attorneys and 3 or 4 speech writers and cover up what is murder, what is at least manslaughter, and then go on to be elected time after time to the United States Senate. Whatever Trump does, he is a peon compared to what Ted Kennedy did and got away with. And now we have the movie. And the movie is a representative film of what a lot of us saw years ago, but it didn't register. I saw the famous Ted Kennedy newscast. It didn't register with me. I may have even believed him. And now I saw the film. It was horrible. The way he tried to get away with everything every step of the way. The way he tried to blame it on everybody. Ted Sorensen was in the movie. Sorensen was in the movie, and he wrote the script that Ted Kennedy read. Now, according to the movie, Kennedy never even saw his speech before he sat down at the desk to deliver it to the American people. And he was instructed to lay the speech down that he was reading from, and then look directly into the camera and make this fervent plea to the American people. I made a mistake. Tell me if I should be your senator. Please let me know. Now, that was supposed to be an extemporaneous plea to the American people, speaking from the heart, speaking from the depth of emotion. But it wasn't. He was reading from cue cards. That movie just depressed me. He never wrote a word of the speech he gave. It was written by experts, linguistic experts, language experts, human behavior experts, approved by attorneys hired to protect Kennedy, approved by people who have a knowledge of history. And he was reelected again and again. What is that an indictment of? Is that an indictment of a system that allows somebody to get away with that? Is it an indictment of people who believe it? Is it an indictment of fundamental cognitive bias? In other words, if I think Kennedy was a good person on Monday, and he killed somebody on Tuesday, but I didn't see him do it. On Wednesday, I just say, I guess it's okay. He may not have done it, or he may have had a good reason. And on Thursday, I vote for him again because I have cognitive bias. I have already bought into the Kennedy name, to the Kennedy belief that they were all smart, that they were all Harvard graduates. They had America first in their mind. But if you looked at that film, you didn't see Ted Kennedy had American first in his mind. He was only focused on one thing. Could he be reelected? What did he have to do to generate an alibi? And Joe Kennedy, the dad, didn't come off much better either. When Ted Kennedy went to his dad called his dad on the phone and said, "Dad, what could I do?" And his dad was in a wheelchair and could barely talk. The word that we heard, if we were watching the film, was alibi, alibi. And later, when he leaned down to talk to his dad, when his dad was in the wheelchair, his dad said, "Alibi, alibi." And that's what Kennedy focused on. And that's what the people around him focused on. Now, was Kennedy fundamentally good and simply swayed by the people around him? I don't think so. According to the film, he was a sleazebag. No, Kennedy wasn't fundamentally good. He was a sleazebag. He lacked integrity. And the largest indictment that we can conceive of is the indictment of the people in Massachusetts that continually elected him to the Senate. But can we fault them? How do they know the truth? How does anybody know the truth when you hear so many conflicting stories? And then, of course, we have what I've already talked about, cognitive bias. You grew up with certain beliefs. Maybe they're hardwired in us. I don't know. Maybe they're DNA. But they're hard to change. I don't understand some Democrats. They don't understand Republicans. Maybe it's all personality related. Maybe it's not. Who knows? Who knows, as we search for the truth, where the truth really is? Because we get so many differing stories. Stormy Daniels has a story. Her attorney has a story. Trump's attorney has a story. North Korea has a story. We have a story. China has a story. And now we hear that the entire Syrian chemical attack, some people are saying, never happened. It was staged. Where is the truth? I feel sorry for the next generation coming up because we almost have too much information. There was a day when I got all my information from a single newspaper and I believed it was the truth. And I was pretty happy then. Now I get so much information, I don't know where the truth is. I don't know if I'm happier now than I was then, but I'm certainly more confused and more puzzled and maybe less gullible about politics. It's not that I'm skeptical. I believe people do, in fact, try to do a good job. But we have this plurality of definitions of what a good job is. And we have this plurality of definitions of what doing something for America is. Take care of the homeless, spread the wealth. I don't know the answer, but I think it goes back to a book I read years ago called The Bell Curve. According to the bell curve, you've got a lot of dumb people and a few smart people. Ironically, and this may sound elitist, but according to the reports I have read, people that have a low IQ actually believe they're not influenced by advertising. They're not influenced by it. They can listen to an ad and make up their own mind. They can listen to a political speech, make up their own mind. They can listen to whatever's going on and make their own determination. And the lower the IQ, the more they believe it. Then you have the upper IQ people. They believe that they're of course influenced by advertising. They're of course influenced by what they see, by what they read, by what they hear. Ah, there's the rub. You have the bulk of the people who absolutely believe they're not influenced by what Trump says or what Pelosi says, or somebody else, they can make up their own mind. As if they have their own cache of information that only they have access to. No, unfortunately, we're products of what we read, what we hear, what we see, and what people that we believe in tell us. And we don't have to go very far to understand that. I was convinced there was a Santa Claus, and I found out there wasn't. I was convinced there was a Tooth Fairy, and then I found out there wasn't. I was convinced there was an Easter Bunny, and then I found out there wasn't. Did my parents try to mislead me? No, but they carried on a tradition. And are those traditions bad? Is it bad to promote the concept of Santa Claus to a young person? Then one day he wakes up and finds out there isn't any Santa Claus? See, there's a lot of fundamental things that go on that are a part of what we believe. But in the end, I don't think we can give ourselves that much credit for what we believe. I do believe we are a function of what we see and what we read and what we hear, what the people that we count on, the people that we trust, tell us. And that's why when you see a movie like Chappaquiddick, it stirs the emotions. It stirs these cognitive bias. It makes me wonder that how many of the things I truly believe are truly believable. And that's all for today. This is Robert Sherwood with Web Talk with Bob signing off. I'm going to be back more often because even though there's not much going on in politics, there's a lot going on in my mind about making comments on politics. So have a great day. Email me at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. If you have a positive comment, email me at com if you have a negative comment. Okay, signing off. Bob brought to you courtesy of